You know, the Lord's been bringing forth Ephesians. You know what the first part of that Ephesians 5 says? It says, wake up, thou that sleepest. And I heard the Lord say, there's some of you this morning, your praiser has been asleep. Your noise maker has been asleep. In the natural, I'm a very quiet, reserved person, just in the natural. But I tell you what, right now, I'm not in the natural. I tell you what, I'm a noisemaker in the spirit. I'm a noisy person in the spirit. You know, I said yesterday, you didn't save me. And we've been in places, the tornadoes were just shaking the place, just shaking. Just, well, I tell you what, you need God then. We don't know what's in the future, but we know who holds the future. I tell you what, I think we might just have to in the earth, we might have just to do some repenting along the way for all this plastic, phony, made up worship that we think is worship. It's not worship. You know what? The worship ought to be so strong that they have to say, stop, stop, stop. We got to take the offering. And they say, oh my God, stop bringing money. That was the book of Acts. They said, we have more than enough. You're looking at me funny. I know what worship will do. I'm 29 years old. And not a joint hurts. I jump up and down. I go hours and days and weeks and months and years on about 2-3 hours sleep. I get a little more now. Listen, I follow from week to week. We'd follow week to week. We end on Friday night. We got to drive 1,000 miles. Start Tuesday night. Play 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. There's a hidden secret in worship. And I'll tell you something I refuse to do. I refuse to sit up here and be an old plastic, dust-filled carcass laid up here. I'm not going to have a dead carcass to God. I ain't doing that. Oh, I'm not doing that. If you're looking for that, you better do something else. And you know what? That's why my eyes, do you know my eyes are getting healed? I don't even wear my contacts anymore. You can't sit up here hour and hour and hour and hour in the presence of God and everything about you not start getting healed. He said in His presence is everything. And He said, when my people come and worship me, He said, I inhabit that place. And I tell you right now, there's some of you feel like, listen, oh my God, my earrings are falling off. My Lord. Well, let's just get them off. Some of the old timers said that they're like devil stirrups anyway. Just get them off. It's got to where I can't even wear my rings. They roll around, so my rings are gone. Well, I guess something else is going to go. Listen, when you really begin to worship God, you'll be like David. His wife said, my God, I'm ashamed of this man. I'm ashamed of this man. He's out here jerking and duking whatever you're doing. When you stick your finger in the light socket over there, we're not going to go, you know, I think I've stuck my finger to the power line. I believe my finger is in that socket. No, you're going to be jumping like a wild person because you've come in contact with the power of God. And I tell you, I don't want to do despite to the power of God and act like something and it not be coming out of my heart and it not be real. So what he's saying this morning, some of you want to just, you said, my God, I want to raise my hands. And you, what happens? They're looking at you. Oh, my God, you're raising your hands. They're looking at you. Oh, I can hear me singing. They're going to hear you. Well, praise God. Who cares what they see or what they hear? What I want is what He sees and what He hears. So some of you this morning are on the edge of tapping your toe or doing something. I can feel that. And when that worship comes so strong, you know what the result of it is? You're going to have to do something. When you stick your finger in the power socket, you're gonna do something. You hear me? You're going to do something. And I sit just as nice and quiet over there, but I tell you, you can't worship God hour after hour, day after day, year after. Now it's gone into years and years and years. Well, that when you come in there, something's going to manifest that is of God. I don't have to work it up. In fact, I try to go just as slow worship as I know. I go that way most of the time, just slow worship. Because I come into, not here, but I come into places and they're just going and going and they're jamming and jamming. Stop. 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 It's not there. Stop. It's not there. It's not there. We don't want to do despite to the Holy Spirit. We sing, welcome, Holy Spirit, and then He's not welcome. We're making adjustments. And some of you are on the edge this morning. You're on the edge this morning. You've been coming up to this place and you're on the edge this morning. You said, my God, that's me. I feel like I'm in a cage. I feel like I can't even break. I start to wiggle my finger toward God and I said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Then before long, your hands are tied. Your lips are sealed. Your feet are tied up. And guess what? You're bound up. You're bound up. There's no condemnation in that, but glory to God, we don't stay that way. Well, I know what's going on right now, Pastor Jim. We got to do one more song. I hear this song, but we're not going to sing it. It says, I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. See, you see how much better you're already feeling? You shake yourself. You shake the dust. You shake the old grave clothes off of it. I watch it all the time. I watch it. I think I'll just tap my toe. You can't tap your toe here. My God, have mercy. I think about what he's done for me. I was shaking and quaking 30 years ago. The devil came and brought mental something to me. I couldn't even sit in a room by myself. I mean, it was pitiful. My body was wrecked. I was weighing 82 pounds, dying, going to the grave. My husband had to carry. I couldn't even walk from here to here. Let me tell you something. I was laying on the couch one day and I said, my God, I don't want to die. I saw myself in the grave. You take 25 pounds off of me, that's a rail. That's a rail. I didn't even have the strength to pull my hair up to call my arm would fall. I had sense enough to know that I was dying. And I looked up to heaven one day and I said, hey, I don't want to die. I've got a good husband. I got a good daddy. I got a good pastor. But none of them couldn't tell me what to do when I'm dying going to the grave. One of the main reasons I didn't want to go to the grave is I didn't want some old Sally Mae wearing my shoes. I like my husband. And I knew he'd get him another wife, and I didn't want him having another wife. I like being his wife. Hey, I said, I got things to do for God. You know what? We might as well tell the truth. I wanted to do my call, but I also... He says, hush, woman, and sing. I had to find an answer. I said, I'm really dying. There's disease in my body. And some of you are in that place this morning. It may not be disease. But you can't even buy the dog food. I remember one time we were at Gatlinburg and Elaine Homer said, my God, they're taking all of your money. You're not even going to have enough money to get a hamburger at the bottom of the hill. About right she was. You don't have money to buy a hamburger. That ain't right. It's not right. It's not because of recession. It's because we're not tapping into the faith. You know what? When I leave here this morning, you leave here. The number one thing was faith stirred in my heart. He said that's all that's going to please him. After everything is said and done, is faith stirring in you right now? Some of you said, if you'll hush, we'll do something. Because see, it's exhortation and it's comfort. And that worship, it brings you to the edge. You're going to get up and you're going to do something. Whether you believe it or not, I've talked about my husband. About the biggest he does is he moves his finger. I'm tearing it up and he's patting his big toe. We were went in a place one time, and he said, you see my eyes rolling around? I'm really running around the room. That's my eyes. I'm running around the room. But you know what? I've seen him dance before God hour after hour. Hour after hour. I've seen the men dance hour after hour, giving glory to God. And I tell you what, as long as I live, and as long as I breathe, There will always be one more song. And so as long as I live, and as long as I breathe, there will always be one more song of praise.
For many have misunderstood my mercy and my grace. Many have misunderstood why I don't deal with sin the way that they think I should. There are many in my body who point to the Old Testament and say, But God, you judged. But God, you judged the sin. Why aren't you doing that today? But you must understand that I am doing it today. What you fail to understand is that in the Old Testament, before my judgment was released, I sent my prophets, I sent my vessels, I sent my voices to the people to call them to repentance. Year after year after year after year, I would call them to repentance. I would send my prophets, and they would speak my word. And I would tell my people, please come back to me. Please come back to me. And when they did, I received them. And when they didn't, when they continued to walk away from me, they walked into judgment. The very things that I told them would happen. Today, my mercy and my grace still come from me, just like it did in the Old Testament. I am the source of that mercy and that grace. Do you think that I sat on my throne and enjoyed watching people walk into the judgment, watching them die? I had no enjoyment in that whatsoever. None. It's the same today. I get no pleasure when my children rebel against me, walk away from me, and walk into various forms of judgment. I get no pleasure from that. Think about my son Jesus. When he was asked by his own apostles, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And he said, no. You have no idea what spirit you're speaking from. It's the same thing today. There are many in my church that are crying out for judgment over this and judgment over that, and this ought to be done and that ought to be done. But when you walk in my love and conform to my love, then you will understand that it's out of my mercy and my grace that I give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and come back to me. I love you more than you can possibly imagine. And I repeatedly demonstrate my love to you through extending my grace, my forgiveness, my mercy. Do not be quick to judge when you know of sin in other people's lives. Be quick to pray. Be quick to intercede on their behalf. For you see, if they really understood what their sin and rebellion was doing to them, if they really, truly understood this, they would not be doing these things. They've chosen to walk into sin, but they've also chosen to allow themselves to be deceived. So do not be quick to judge. Remember, in my word, I have said that I have handed all judgment over to my Son. And He bore the judgment on the cross. Pray for those that you know are in sin. My desire is that they appeal to my mercy, my forgiveness, my grace and my love, repent, and come back into full fellowship with me. That is my desire. So do not think that I have become soft on sin, or that my grace has become, as many people call it, greasy. It is not, it has not, and it will not. But my mercy and my grace go beyond human comprehension. And the more that you conform to my love is the more that you will begin to understand that mercy and that grace. I love you. And it is my heart's desire to prove and demonstrate my love to you on a daily basis. So stay in my presence. And when the lies of the enemy come to you to try to draw you into sin, to tempt you, to make a wrong decision, remember, my strength in you, my life in you, is the power you need to overcome all temptation. Appeal to the power of my life and the strength it contains, and resist the temptation. You can do this. You can do this. And know that in my love, I am there with you to help you. So receive from me. I will work a perfecting work in you. I will not let you down. The Lord says that you've been running in circles. You've been frustrated in your relationship with me. You've been seeking answers. Sometimes you feel like that you're all turned around and twisted on the inside. And you just want some clarity. The Lord says you will find that clarity if you will worship me. For in this worship, when you come to me and you begin to worship me, just you alone with me, and pour out your heart to me, then all of the clutter, all of the clamor, all of the confusion, all of that is going to be cleared up. Because when you begin to worship me, I'm going to be able to move and minister to you my peace. I'm going to be able to move in you and to calm your emotions. And you'll be able to think clearly, more so than you have in a long, long time. Because you see, in my presence, there is no confusion. In my presence, there is no mental anxiety. In my presence, there is fullness of joy. So worship me, and you will begin to see these things straighten up in your mind, in your thinking. You will begin to experience a change. You have asked me, Father, what is the answer? How can I break out of this cycle? And I am telling you tonight, this is the answer. Worship me and experience the deliverance that you have been seeking. I will do it, says the Lord.
Well, hallelujah. Let me put in my two cents about getting in the line. When Sue and I began at the prayer center all those years ago, we needed... Well, let me just put it... I'll just talk plain. Y'all are family, right? We just talk real. So you found somebody that's really walking into real stuff. That anointing Dave has is from God, and it's real. And when we were so messed up, I don't care if he called a line for a hangnail, we got in it. I needed to be touched. I needed to have that anointing. And I'm telling you, we got in it. So if there's anything in you, if he calls a line, and you know, if you need that, just get in the line. Get in the line, okay? We're not all big on protocol here. We're big on family. All right? Well, you know, if you're sitting around a big old table, there's 12 brothers and sisters on my dad's side of the family. There's 12 brothers and sisters on my mom's side of the family. Now, we get together for family reunions years ago. Listen. Everybody sits down to eat, it's pandemonium. But if you want something, all you got to do is, you know, pass the mashed potatoes, please. But listen, if you need a cup of healing, you come to the right place. If you need a touch in your body, you came to the right place. So don't be hesitant, okay? All right, well, let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. Last night, now, Dave likes that plastic wallet story so well, I think he'd like it if I did it every service. And Last night, though, see, and the reason that we're doing these every time, we're not really intending to milk every dollar out of you. We're not really intending you have to give into every offering either. But it is an opportunity to teach a little bit. And then there's people that's here tonight that hadn't been here other times, and maybe you haven't had an opportunity to give. So since we're in a part of the calling is a revival of doctrine and soundness of mind and sanity, my job is to, you know, we'll have a few sacred cow barbecues here. And, we're going to look at another one. I know none of you have ever heard this verse at offering time. Now, last night, I showed you the laws of meditation when it comes to a subject. And we looked at that in Luke chapter 6. You remember that, those of you that were here? If you weren't here, get that message, okay? Now, tonight, we're going to look at the benefits of assimilation. Assimilation is a little different than the laws of meditation. And Dave has a series out there called How to Assimilate God's Word, and I highly recommend it. But the laws of assimilation is when you start really equipping your spirit for day and night meditation. I'm not going to go into detail, but it's where you read each book 30 times, 40 times, 50 times. If you don't know what a word means, you can go look it up, the definition. But you're not really at that point trying to necessarily get revelation out of the word. You're feeding the word into you. And once you have it in there like 30, 40, 50 times, then now you're equipping yourselves for day and night meditation. Even when you're asleep, your spirit doesn't sleep. And the Holy Spirit can be working with you. And what will happen, if you've got the books in there, inside of you, sometimes these difficult passages, a key in one book will unlock a mystery in another book. It happens all the time. Now, for example, we're going to look at the laws of assimilation. Now, here's a verse I know none of you have ever heard at offering time, not ever. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. You already knew ahead of time, didn't you? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. My brothers and sisters, what kind of harvest do you need tonight? If you want a little bit of blessing, you just give a little bit into this offering. But if you need a big harvest, some of you are going to have to maximize your credit cards. You know, we've all been in those things, you know. Now, trouble is in the 80s, you know, and Sue and I were just little, barely born again little birds, you know. We just swallow any kind of worm that they'd feed us, you know. We just figure, you know, man of God wouldn't stand up there and lie in the name of Jesus. But they did. And I hope to God they did it ignorantly. I hope to God they did it ignorantly, see? Because the way that's preached now, you know and I know that what they're saying there, where is the focus? The focus is on your harvest, is it not? They're getting you to look at that. And see, the thing of it is, if you don't know any better, if you don't know assimilation, if they just lift a verse like that out, and, I mean, does it not say that? And I'm warning you about something else. Now, I like studying the Greek definitions of words and all of that, breaking that down. But if you just still stay introverted on that one verse and you break that down word by word, it pretty much says what it sounds like it says here. And you'll come away with the same understanding, okay? And so my thinking got to be, well, what God wants, you know, sowing and reaping is how he prospers believers. And if that's what God wants, then I'm going to be a big sower. And so that's, you know, we got into that mindset for years. And well, if this is what God wants, it's what I want to do. So my thinking when we would give was like that of a farmer. Isn't that the analogy? He's using the analogy of a farmer. If I'm going to have a big harvest, I got to sow a big seed. So when I would sow it, I thought that was pleasing God to be thinking about my harvest when I'm sowing my seed. Laws of assimilation now. Keep your place there. We're coming back. I want you to go over to Luke chapter 12. If they're going to use the analogy of a farmer, let's see if assimilation from another book can give us a key that will unlock revelation in what we just looked at there. So Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus, he said unto them, I still hear pages turning, I want you to get there. Luke 12, 15. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, you tell me, what is covetousness? Just plain old greed. That word that's translated covet means a lover of silver. Okay? So beware of loving money. Beware of greed. Then he gives an example here. For he says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. In modern day terms, they say, you know, he that dies with the most toys wins. The truth of it is, he that dies with the most toys still dies. And he's going to find out then, toys made a poor God. Okay? So Jesus is saying, you know, your life really doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which you possess. Well, how would we beware of covetousness? How would we beware of it? Well, he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, wait a minute. What's he saying? This man had sowed a field, and the ground, he got a big harvest. Did he not? Said the ground of a certain rich man, it brought forth an abundant harvest. It brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, now notice the focus. I'm going to put an emphasis on these words. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now this guy literally did what the analogy over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us to do. This guy literally, he sowed big, he reaped big, and his whole thought was about his harvest. My ground, my harvest, my barns. Was the Lord pleased with that mentality? Make a note. Covetous giving does not work. Greedy giving, sowing with your harvest in mind to fill your barns, is not what they're talking about, not what Paul was writing about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now go back over there. Let's see what he was talking about. Sure gets quiet in here. Sue, go start the car, baby. I don't know, family or not, I'm thinking I need to get out of here, you know. My goodness. But then what does it mean? It says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. See, you'll never get it. I'm telling you, you'll never, ever get it until you learn to meditate 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in the whole image. Read it again. And read it again, and meditate it again, and pray in the Holy Ghost. Eventually, what you're going to find out what Paul's talking about. It'll take you a while to be separated from the doctrine that's been planted in your mind by the TV preachers for so long. Because Paul's not even talking about your harvest here. Paul's talking about the harvest we're going to have for God. What is God getting out of this? What is going on here? The Christians, the Jewish Christians, the ones that have grew up under the law, but then somebody witnessed to them about Jesus and they got born again. The Jewish Christians are undergoing severe persecution and a famine over in Jerusalem. They're really hurting. So Paul is writing this letter to all of the Gentile churches saying, your Jewish brethren are really suffering. This would be a good time to share some of your abundance and help them. Not only, he says here later, look at this, he says, verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also. In other words, what does God get out of it? God doesn't like it when little children go to bed hungry. God doesn't like it when there's famine in the land and there's people are suffering and there's not enough milk for the baby. What does God get out of it? You're going to help God. You're going to help relieve what's on his heart by sending some money over here to help relieve the suffering. That's what God gets out of it. And that's going to cause thanksgiving from the people, but there's something else going on too. Verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. Now notice, for your professed professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. You guys say you're Christians? But these Jewish, at this moment in time, there was a little bit of a schism between the Jewish Christians. They just felt themselves a little bit more superior than these swine-eating Gentiles. But I don't care who you are. If you put your money where your mouth is, you put your money and you actually send help, they're going, maybe these Gentiles are saved. Maybe they really are, brethren. They've professed their subjection to Christ. But by their actions now, maybe we really are just one big family. What did God get out of this? Relief of the suffering of the people. And secondly, God was trying to tear down that wall of partition between the Jewish Christian and the Gentile Christian, because in God's mind, out of the two, He's made one new man. So what He's saying back here, look, if you help, $10 will help a little. $10 will, it'll cause some relief. $100 will cause more. If you can give a little, that'll help some. If you can give big, it'll help more. Do what you can. And if you really back up here, He'll tell you, it's received according to what you have, not according to what you have not. So that eliminates right there all those offerings you ever heard about you need to maximize your credit card. God's not going to ever ask you to go into debt to give. It's accepted according to what a man has and not according to what he has not. Amen? Covet, say it out loud. Covetous giving, say it this way, greedy giving does not work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, why should we give tonight? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Jim's already been telling you what's going on. They're going to put all of these messages on MP3 CDs. They're going to be produced in every format. They're going to be made available. Not just you are going to hear these messages and be impacted, but with every message, every method, the internet, every way possible. These messages are going to go around the world. You don't even know how many people are going to wind up hearing these. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to repent of their sins and come back to God. People are going to get... There's all kinds of things that'll happen. What kind of harvest are we after? We're after souls, the precious fruit of the earth. That's what the Father's after. If you give a little, hey, it's received according to what you have. If you give a lot, we'll receive that too. But it's all about the Father's harvest, not your harvest. You got that? Hallelujah. With that in mind, I just bow your head for a minute. I really only know two ways to give in the New Testament, because we're not under law. First off is as a steward of the Lord. He doesn't have any hands to give into any offering except those on His body. We're the body. Sometimes He'll tell Sue and I want you to give this much. And if we hear that, we give. A lot of times we don't hear Him say an amount. Well, that's when the Bible says, right here in the same passage, let every man decide in his own heart what he'd like to give. Not by necessity. That means not by law. God's not requiring it. But from a cheerful heart. A thankful heart. How many glad to be saved? Boy, I'm glad to be saved. I want to get everybody else saved. I want to get Dave's book into the hand of every person on planet Earth. Everything that's happening here, the more people that can receive that, the better. That's why we give. We're for a harvest for our Father. There's offering envelopes on the back of every pew. Just take one. I understand you can make checks payable to GCC instead of writing out all that Grace Christian, just GCC will work. And now forget the procedure. Okay, so the ushers need to come forward at this time. It's different than how we do it at the prayer center. And they'll just kind of come back this way, and you can just put your offering in the bucket, in the pan. Jim, am I doing it okay? Do you need to say anything? I did okay? All right. Let me just go ahead and pray over this. Father, You heard what was spoken. Nobody was bribed. Nobody was threatened. Father, I know every dime that comes into this offering comes from hearts who are thankful to be saved, thankful for Your gospel. Father, we ask You receive this in the same spirit that it's given. Father, we pray this offering come up to You like a sweet-smelling incense offering into Your nostrils, sweet-smelling and pleasing in Your sight. Father, we do ask that You touch this with that anointing You have, that multiplies the loaves and fishes. Father, cause this, cause these finances to send your gospel farther than the devil ever thought possible. Just send it around the world, Father. We thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.